You're listening to WNJC 1360 AM in Washington Township, New Jersey, and on the web at WNJC1360.com or Forsyth Broadcasting Company. Stay tuned. Repatriate Radio is coming right up.
Billy Bear and Dan Haggerty here. Welcome to the Bear Haggerty Offensive.
Hey, Billy, how you doing?
I'm all right. What's up?
Oh, a lot of different stuff.
Yeah, what's going on? Busy week again?
Busy week, yeah. A lot of stuff with the court system, the legal system, and our screwed up republic.
The legal system or the illegal system?
Yeah, really.
Yeah, hey, listen, you have a definition there you're going to read to set the tone for today's show. Go ahead.
Yeah, something a little interesting. Banana Republic. Now, I'm not talking about a clothing store.
Go ahead. Continue.
A small country that is economically dependent on a single export commodity, such as bananas, and is typically governed by a dictator or the armed forces. Well, Billy, that's kind of a sanitized definition. A real banana republic came from the 1910s, 1920s in Central America, when the United Fruit Company of Boston essentially took over many of the Central American countries so they could control the production of bananas and other fruit for consumption in the U.S. And when things get out of hand, they send in the Marines. And United Fruit essentially controlled the governments of these countries. That's why they're called banana republics. Not a very sterling chapter in American history, but that is what happened. And as some people think, that's what's happening to us now.
So what would you say the essence of that is then? I mean, the first thing you mentioned was a small government. I wrote that down. I know you said that.
Yeah. Well, how about this?
A small country, actually. Small country.
A small country that is economically dependent on a single export commodity, such as bananas, and is typically governed by a dictator or the armed forces.
Okay, so that's the historical definition, but how is it typically understood now when people use that expression?
Well, they use it as a term of disparagement against any small country.
So it's not a term of endearment.
Yeah, absolutely not. And I'll tell you what, in some ways we're becoming a banana republic. It sure feels that way.
So aside from the small country part, it sounds like we're moving in that direction, huh?
Absolutely, absolutely. And if you were in attendance yesterday at the administrative law judge hearing in New Jersey,
which Dan and I were in attendance,
exactly, you definitely get the feeling that we live in some kind of banana republic. All of the form of the legal process was observed yesterday, but the judge seemed to miss some very important points, and he looked very comfortable in doing so.
So this was what? This was essentially a hearing sitting to determine whether Barack Obama should be on the ballot, the primary ballot, and also would be the general election ballot, but in this case, the primary ballot, in the first case, in the state of New Jersey.
Yeah, absolutely. And now, Billy, you being the lawyer, you ought to explain this a little more, because while I was there and while I filmed it and took very careful notes and paid attention to it, and in fact, I posted the entire event on my YouTube channel.
So we have the whole thing recorded.
Yeah, absolutely.
I put it
in three segments on the YouTube channel called Hags 51, H-A-G-G-Z 5-1.
Right.
So if the listeners go to that YouTube channel, they'll see the recordings of the court hearing, but also they'll see the recording of last week's event with Jerome Corsi, which was a big success and has garnered over 20,000 hits on YouTube. Amazing.
Right.
Just keeps growing.
A lot of newspaper articles, too. The Star Ledger did an article,
yeah,
and a blistering editorial, basically, as to be expected, birther, the whole deal with that, and disparaged us. And the conclusion essentially was that we're a bunch of racists.
Oh, exactly. They called us the tinfoil hat crowd, the lunatic fringe. They excoriated John Setti and the Republican Party.
John Setti. Who's John Setti?
John Setti is the chairman of the Morris County Republican Committee.
Hey, Dan, just give the audience a little insight into what actually took place last week.
Well,
Last
Tuesday in Morristown at the Masonic Lodge, we had a standing room only crowd. I mean, we were literally turning people away. Hundreds of people there to witness the presentation of evidence by Dr. Jerome Corsi,
who's been a guest on our show.
Who has been a guest on the show, author of the book, Where's the Birth Certificate? The case that Barack Obama is not eligible to be president of the United States. Anyway, it went about an hour and another half hour in questions, very popular. Dr. Corsi presented in a logical manner all the questions surrounding Barack Obama's origin, his mysterious origins, let's put it. And the crowd was very attentive, asked a lot of intelligent questions. And again, if the listener wants to see the event and see Dr. Corsi's presentation, go onto YouTube and go to Haggs 51, H-A-G-G-Z 51, and watch that presentation.
Interesting, reading that the Star Ledger editorial and also the Star Ledger article and also articles in the Daily Record, a few other newspapers. It was on the Huffington Post as well. One thing that was clear from these articles is that none of the evidence that was presented was addressed at all. Nothing.
Exactly.
It was just basically assertions and ad hominem attacks. Other than that, there was nothing in the article, in any of the articles, I should say.
Exactly. When I read the article, I was essentially the principal organizer of this event along with you. And I read this.
Right, thank you, Dan.
You're welcome. I read this attack, and at first you take it kind of personally. Okay, I'm part of the lunatic fringe, but then, after that normal reaction you have when you're insulted by someone, I was actually satisfied because the Star Ledger editorial confirmed what I've always believed. They're not a legitimate news organization. They're part of Obama's strike team. They're a mouthpiece for the Obama administration, just like the newspapers that are allowed to operate in a banana republic, okay? They confirmed everything I believed. They didn't deal with the evidence at all. All they did was perform an ad hominem attack, call us racists. The real answer is, I may or may not be a racist, but what does that have to do with whether or not Barack Obama is legitimate in the office of President of the United States?
Yep.
That's the question.
So anyway, so yesterday in a New Jersey courtroom, essentially there was a hearing on the eligibility of Barack Obama to appear on the New Jersey primary ballot and also on the ultimately on the general election ballot in November. And the information is just unfolding now. Dan and I were both present for the entire hearing, which was approximately 3 hours yesterday, and we just got the decision from the judge literally 5 minutes ago. So we're going to try to get up to speed. We're going to have a guest on who's going to address some of these issues. He too was present. He's not a stranger to this show. Commander Charles Kirchner is going to be on to discuss his understanding of what happened yesterday, give us a little broader perspective since he's been in the trenches on this issue for 3.5 years already. Anyway, Dan, so we were going to go through some questions. What do you think about yesterday? What was your take on it? I mean, you referenced the Banana Republic. Obviously, there were some issues with our confidence in the legal system at this point. I would say after 3 years and almost 4 years, and especially after yesterday, has been somewhat shaken. Would you agree with that?
Shaken, not stirred, exactly. I'll tell you, watching the judge and listening to him, there's just some problems. And here's the basic problem I have. The judge, let me put it this way, the respondent for the Obama administration, an attorney by the name of Ms. Hill, she said basically no one has to provide a birth certificate. It's not the candidate's responsibility.
Well, not just a birth certificate. She essentially said, the judge essentially agreed that there needs to be no evidence There needs to be no evidence presented to show for a candidate for president to show that there, or to, for somebody who's a nominee for the party or a candidate for the nomination, I should say, there's no obligation to present anything,
right,
to show that they're eligible.
Right, exactly.
So, I mean, essentially, I mean, you could have people supposed to be 35 years of age. It could be 30 years of age. Essentially, what it comes down to is that there needs to be an objection on the part of somebody else raising a question regarding the eligibility of the person whose name appears on the petition.
Well, here's what they said. They said the burden of proof is on us, the objectors. Now, I personally wasn't an objector, so I'm speaking collectively about those of us who are there supporting the objectors. The burden of proof is on us, the objectors, to prove that the president does not have a legitimate birth certificate.
Well, it's beyond
fact,
a birth certificate.
It's a forgery.
Right. It's obviously that, just generally just is eligible for that office.
Right. But the most important item that was under discussion was the birth certificate, along with a few other things.
Right.
Natural born citizen, what is the definition
well,
of?
Also, the actual
but the birth certificate was the object of discussion for most of the event. And what they said was it's the burden of proof is on the objectors to prove that the birth certificate's a forgery.
Essentially, but what was interesting is that the judge would not allow any evidence to show that the birth to suggest that the birth certificate was in fact not what they purported it to be.
I know. Well, look, you asked me what my impression was, and what I'll say is that the law says that the Secretary of State has to certify that the candidate is eligible to be on the ballot. We, meaning the objectors, claim that he's not. The judge and the respondent said,
the judge and Obama's attorney.
Judge and Obama's attorney said it's our responsibility to prove that. Well, my question is, if it's our responsibility to prove that, and there's no requirement for the Secretary of State to check out the birth certificate and ascertain eligibility, then how could it be proven? There's a logical absurdity here. We're supposed to prove something, but the document we need to look at to prove or disprove is unavailable to us, and the court sees no requirement that that document be produced.
Well, what was interesting...
It's absurd.
Right, but there was a real problem there, because the judge basically would not allow any evidence to come in regarding the authenticity of the birth certificate. But on the other hand, just reading his decision now, he decided that he's convinced that Barack Obama was born in Hawaii. Now, for those of you who have been following the show, we know it gets more complicated than that. It's beyond the birth certificate. It gets into the definition of natural born.
Well, how does he know he was born in Hawaii?
Well, that's the point. It's a conundrum, really, because he's saying, where did he get that information from? Because he refused to acknowledge any outside sources and refused to allow the birth certificate into evidence and any evidence regarding the authenticity of the birth certificate.
So how could it be his official position that he's born in Hawaii?
Well, the question for this judge would be, well, what did you base your opinion on?
Yeah.
If there was nothing in the evidence to suggest that it had anything to do with Hawaii or a birth certificate, he had to obviously go outside the evidence that was presented at that hearing.
And how did he do that? What did he rely on?
He probably relied on everything we were talking about, all the internet sites and all the YouTube videos that were scoffed at in the hearing.
No, the president says he was born in Hawaii, so by gosh, that's all you need to know.
Mm-hmm.
The president would never lie to us.
Well, they would never do that, right?
Oh, exactly. They only do that in banana republics.
Well, anyway, the takeaway here is that people have to understand that essentially candidates for president in New Jersey, and unfortunately many or most states, or maybe even all the states, are not required to present anything to substantiate who they are and what their qualifications are for that office. That's the bottom line.
Let me get this. You could bring in an itinerant whatever person from anywhere in the country to ship him into the U.S., run him for president, and if he says, yeah, I'm eligible, the Secretary of State says, okay, fine, sounds good to me.
Well, the judge essentially ruled that, this was the administrative law judge, essentially ruled that, and Obama's attorney argued that the fees were paid, the signatures were there, and on its, and his address was there and his name was there, so on its face it's valid. But what they would argue is that an objection needs to be raised, which does make some sense. It makes some sense. There's a problem here, but the problem is, how do you raise an objection looking to present evidence that this person is not who they claim to be, or they're not eligible, when everything's been sealed? He's the only one who has access to this information. The birth they refuse to allow the birth certificate in that our side, let's say, was saying is a counterfeit. So
right.
How do you reverse that burden of proof and put it back on the candidate when there's no evidence is allowed into it?
Exactly. It's catch 22.
Well, it's essentially it's analogous with what happened with Terry Lakin. He is essentially was left with no defense.
Who's Terry Lakin?
The lieutenant colonel who ended up for 5 months in Leavenworth, lost probably millions of dollars in pension benefits, was, I think, dishonorably discharged from the Army. He was a flight surgeon.
Why?
Because he challenged the legitimacy of Barack Obama as the commander-in-chief.
Okay.
Or, as I call him here now, the constitutional crisis-in-chief.
Yeah, exactly. The head of the Banana Republic. Well,
the top banana.
Yeah, top banana. Exactly. I like that. Well, I'll tell you, it's just crazy because it's right out of Alice in Wonderland. It's a catch-22 situation. You guys have to prove something. The only piece of evidence that you need to prove it, you can't have it. Well, so what's the point of having that law at all? What's the point? You know, people... Well, I'll tell you, people have to contact the Secretary of State.
Well, it gives the illusion of fairness. It gives the illusion of objectivity. It gives the illusion of the rule of law. The same as our country, and to a large extent, and our electoral system, is given the illusion of it being a constitutional republic and this being a democratic system within a constitutional republic, when our choices are limited to basically two parties that are essentially the same. And any other party is essentially excluded by the other two parties.
Right, right. I mean, it's just an outrage. I mean, we could get into other issues like the fact that, you know, Ron Paul has been deprived of victories that he won in several states, such as Maine. That's a topic for another discussion. But again, more evidence of a banana republic. You got to really wonder about that.
You know, Dan, one thing that was interesting that I remember the judge saying to the attorney Mario Puzo was, "Well, counselor, sounds like you should be taking this issue up with the New Jersey legislature to pass legislation to require documentation in support of the nominating petition," which is what we've been trying to do for 3 or 4 years already. The reality is that the assembly people, the assemblymen, and the senators in the state of New Jersey refuse to do anything about this.
Dan and
I have had personal conversations with them. They just keep passing the buck. They talk about dropping in legislation that's never dropped in. It goes nowhere. They say, well, it can't pass anyway, and we just want them to propose the legislation. They still refuse to do it.
Billy, if you use common sense, at least to me, I'm not legally trained, but if you use common sense, it seems we already have that requirement. It says he has to be eligible. And if someone wants it proven, the candidate should prove it.
Well, it's self-evident,
would
think.
How can you prove a negative?
Dan, you know that I've been saying for years now that anybody, if this were 40 or 50 years ago, anybody with over a 90 IQ would have had this whole thing figured out, okay? This is a joke. The whole thing is a joke. The joke's on us, and we're pretending that this is the way the system's supposed to work. It's logical. It's intelligent. It's fair. It's objective. It's not. That's what it's not. It's none of those things. It's an illusion of objectivity, an illusion of justice. That's what's going on here on virtually every level. Whether it's a speeding ticket sometimes, or right up to the qualification of the President of the United States, or these jokers in Washington who pass laws for us that they're not obligated to follow, insider trading laws, the kind of things that got Martha Stewart put in federal prison, these guys do every day as a matter of course, and that's just one of the most obvious
examples. Yeah, talk about Charlie Rangel.
Hundreds and hundreds of examples.
Yeah, talk about Charlie Rangel, a tax cheat. What happens to him? He gets off free. And look at Wesley Snipes gets sent to prison for whatever his tax arrears were. Just an outrage. So, but Billy, why don't you talk a bit about the process? It's over now in New Jersey, or can anything be done?
I mean, there's an appellate process that's going to go through the appellate division of the Superior Court. And we'll see how that goes, but you need to, it depends on what the grounds for appeal are. You know, I mean, that's going to be an issue. I mean, ultimately, part of the problem is that the judge went outside of the information, outside the evidence that was presented at trial to come to his conclusion, which was exactly what he said he was not going to do with respect to us introducing evidence and rebuttal evidence. And he did that. It seemed, like I said, I just got this opinion. I haven't even had time to read it yet, but I've read some excerpts from it, and it's problematic. It's very simple. Cutting through all the BS, the bottom line is that the state of New Jersey can and seemingly will, unless the Secretary of State rejects this initial decision by the administrative law judge, this essentially what's going to happen is that we're going to have somebody on that ballot who literally probably 100 million Americans have serious doubts to this person's identity and his eligibility for the office, regardless of whether you define natural born as two U.S. citizen parents of the subject and being born on U.S. soil, or just U.S. soil, the U.S. soil definition, which we, as we've discussed on this show, is patently absurd and is inconsistent with law and with history.
Well, you know, Billy, I think people should contact the Office of the Secretary of State. And in fact, if you give me a few minutes, I will get the information for our listeners. What I'd like you to do, Billy, for a couple of minutes, could you talk about the definition of natural born citizen? I know we throw it around a lot, but can you just explain it?
Hold on till after the break when we get our guest on, then we'll get the information.
Okay.
All right. You don't want to leave me here alone, do you?
Unless you can think of something to say while I'm gone.
I'm sure I could. But anyway, so essentially, like I was just saying, the Secretary of State seemingly, or at least the administrative law judge, has already ruled that we're going to have somebody on the ballot who probably 100 million Americans have serious questions about regarding their identity and ultimately their eligibility for the office of president. And no matter how you want to turn it around, no matter how you want to parse this, that's the bottom line. That is the bottom line. The Secretary of State of the state of New Jersey has a legal obligation, has a constitutional obligation, very clearly, to not allow somebody on the New Jersey ballot who is not qualified. And she seemingly is about to do just that.
Well, you're doing fine talking on your own. I could have gone out and gotten that information.
I went out for lunch, probably.
Yeah, like the last time. I made a sandwich while you were ranting and raving on the show. Yeah, people don't know we have a kitchen right next to our studio here. But
not today, though.
Yeah, you know what I think? I think the guy's an illegal alien. I don't think he's even a citizen of the U.S. Because that very damning piece of information that Dr. Corsi uncovered about 2 weeks ago, he and Sheriff Arpaio and the posse looking into the matter of Obama's identity discovered that during the week that Obama was allegedly born in Hawaii, the microfilm record of all of the people traveling into Hawaii from international destinations mysteriously disappeared.
Just that week?
Just that week.
Get out of here.
Really? They were able to uncover 280 rolls of...
Stinking conspiracy theorist.
Well, it's...
Dirty birther.
It is a conspiracy, but it's not a conspiracy theory. It's a conspiracy fact. 280 rolls of microfilm were obtained by Sheriff Arpaio, covering a wide expanse of time. I'm not sure, but it was quite a few months. Of documents relating to persons entering the U.S. internationally in Hawaii, in the airport. You know, those little cards you fill out. You know, you're halfway out, you're half an hour from landing at a U.S. airport, and the stewardesses come around and to give you a pen and a card and say, here, fill this out. Where are you from? Where are you going? Who are you? Are you a citizen? So they had these documents. They had them on microfilm, but for the week that Obama... was supposedly born in Hawaii, they're missing. Well, why is that significant? It's significant because it's generally believed that by a lot of the people who have researched it, that Obama was born either in Kenya or Indonesia, outside of the U.S., and he was essentially brought into the U.S., into Hawaii, so that he could obtain one of those easy-to-obtain birth certificates and become a U.S. citizen. Now, the Obots say that, are you crazy? You're telling us that 40, 50, 60 years ago they planned to make this man president? No, of course not. What they were planning to do is take someone and make him into an American citizen, which...
Well, people wouldn't do that. There was no motivation to do something like that, was there?
Yeah, yeah. Why would people...
Like today, there's no motivation, right?
Right, right. Nobody wants to come to this country. Well, back in the 60s, this country was a very desirable place to come to and be a citizen of. That case is slowly disappearing, of course. It's not so much an attractive place to be in anymore. But that was the case. That's what they were intending to do. Making him into a senator and then the president was something that happened through happenstance.
Well,
and some degree of planning later on, but they didn't think about it in 1960.
Right, well, it's a typical straw man argument to say that we're alleging that there was a conspiracy from 50 years ago
right.
to have him be
this. Yeah, nobody's saying
typical
that.
Typical straw man argument. One thing that was interesting about yesterday's hearing as well was that basically Obama's attorney, Ms. Hill, was arguing that there's no requirement for Barack Obama or any other presidential candidate to be accurate here. To file any papers other than the petition, signatures, the check,
right.
Your name, no proof of your identity, just your name, and that's it. Not a signature by the candidate, zero. In fact, we used to argue that I've made the argument many times, obviously not accurately, that all that's required of these guys, Obama and all the other presidential candidates throughout the various states, is that they by affidavit basically confirm or by certification they basically attest that they are in fact qualified to the best of their knowledge. What
yeah.
we're finding out now is that that's not even required. So the
no.
person isn't even subjecting themselves to any type of prosecution because they lied or they misled or the state about their qualifications. That's not ever required. So right now in the state of New Jersey, we have nothing on file signed by Barack Obama saying that he even thinks he qualifies for the office of president.
There is no requirement.
But the fact is, the statute and the case law supporting that statute is very clear that certification, at the very least, is required. But it's become kind of a commonplace or tradition to have them sign nothing and have them attest to nothing for the office of president. So that's what's going on here.
Essentially.
So, and also, obviously, supplying no evidence with their attestation. Nothing.
Essentially, there's no requirement to be on the ballot in New Jersey.
Yeah.
There is no requirement.
But interestingly, on the instructions for the petition, and I believe on the petition itself, it lists the qualifications. But there's this disconnect. There's this cognitive dissonance with this whole system at this point. And the things, like I've said, 40, 50 years ago, anybody with a 90 IQ or better would have figured this one out. It's a circle jerk. The whole thing is, and these people are screwing the population. They're dictating what's going on, and there's almost no way around it using this system, unfortunately. That's the position we're left in.
Yeah, it was very disappointing to walk out of the courtroom after witnessing that charade, that pretend legal event, and realize that this is how business is done. So, you know...
And Dan, what's interesting is there's an implication out there that, you know, yeah, okay, when they're not the greatest attorneys in the world, whether it's on the East Coast or the West Coast, that's something for other people to decide. That's not the point. The point is you shouldn't need the greatest legal minds in the world or in the country
no.
to get something like this done. You should be able to have regular citizens who are voters. You have standing in New Jersey. You're a registered voter. You have standing. You go in there and you raise the question. You present something that's reasonable, and the person has to come forth with some type of documentation to show that they comply with the most basic eligibility requirements. But the fact is that's not the case. And regardless of who the attorneys are, you know, I could look over this as an attorney and say, if we did this, if we did that, maybe it would have been different. The fact is the fix is in, basically. You could parse this and finagle this however you want, but it doesn't seem to matter. We've
exactly.
gone from coast to coast, through the state courts, through the federal court, to the U.S. Supreme Court, and it doesn't matter. It doesn't matter what kind of argument you make. It just doesn't make any difference.
This is WNJC 1360 AM in the Philadelphia area, and you are listening to the Bear Haggerty Offensive on Repatriot Radio. So, Billy, yeah, bad feelings coming out of yesterday. Our legal system just doesn't seem to work.
You know, Dan, unfortunately, as an attorney, and you too, I've been spoken with many attorneys, it's easy to think, like just to elaborate a little bit on what I was saying, it's easy to think that if things were done a little differently, if this argument was made, if that argument, it shouldn't have to be so carefully parsed to get something so simple accomplished. But the fact is, that's what's going on here. That's what's going on every level. And it's very disturbing. And the fact is, there's a very good chance that the Secretary of State of the state of New Jersey, Kim Guadagno, is going to allow Barack Obama to be on that ballot. So we need people to call up the Secretary of State and have her understand that regardless of any of this, what's going on, she needs to understand, which I know she does, as a former law enforcement officer, the Monmouth County Sheriff she was, and when you consider that the governor of New Jersey, Chris Christie, was a U.S. attorney for the District of New Jersey, these are law enforcement people. They understand what the rule of law means. And she needs to understand that when you get past all the bullshit, basically the obligation is hers, that she should not be allowing somebody who is not eligible for that office on that ballot. It's her responsibility after everything is discussed.
Let's talk to one of our former guests who's quite familiar with this issue, former Naval Commander Charles Kirchner. Hello, Charlie.
Commander Kirchner here. Is this Dan?
Yes, it is, Charlie. How are you?
I'm fine. A little tired from yesterday, but disappointed by yesterday. But I'm glad to be here and talk to you on your show.
Good. So, Commander Kirchner, so you were there yesterday. I know you were there because I was with you. So,
right.
So tell.
Is that Billy?
Yeah, it's Billy.
Hey, how you doing, Mr. Bear?
You could call me Billy, Commander.
Billy.
So what was your overall impression? And then we'll get into some details.
Well, my overall impression of the decision, which I just got probably half an hour ago and read it quickly, I call it the Emperor Has No Clothes decision. I mean, they're just all just tap dancing around the obvious criminal identity fraud being committed by Obama and using every legal loophole, in this case in New Jersey, in my ballot challenge in PA, the same way, every legal loophole to allow Obama to scam the entire election process. You know, you were there, you saw it. If you haven't read the decision yet, you'll read it and you'll see what I mean. He's just basically saying that Obama doesn't have to prove who he is. It doesn't matter under New Jersey law.
Well, Commander Kirchner, in all fairness, I mean, the decision would, I haven't read all of it yet, but I would think that basically the judge said that no presidential candidate has to show who they are and that they...
Exactly.
It's just
exactly.
That obviously...
But we're not dealing in a vacuum here. I mean, the president has waived that fraudulent birth certificate all over the world, all over the internet, fundraising with it. He's established a legal nexus in the state of New Jersey by coming into the state of New Jersey and showing that forged birth certificate on his campaign efforts by printing it on mugs and everything else to raise money for the Obama for America campaign. And yet the court did not even want to listen to anything about the forged documents and just let Obama's Campaign for America and Obama himself hide behind the fact that he doesn't have to approve who he is. I mean, they used a legal process here that says he's just being put forward by a group of people, the Obama for America campaign, and they can put forward anyone they want, and that person doesn't have to acknowledge that they're eligible or not. I even heard the lawyer for the Obama side, Obama Campaign for America, I believe she said something to the effect, I have to go back and get the video and transcript, but that something about even Mickey Mouse could be put on the ballot in New Jersey.
Yeah,
did you hear that yesterday?
Yes, I did. We gotta keep that and do something with that clip there. That was stunning.
That was amazing that she would flaunt into the face of the court and the public sitting there that the election process has to be so blind to reality. The emperor has no clothes, reality.
So
that the person being put on the ballot is a complete fraud.
So basically, if Mickey Mouse were put on the ballot for president in New Jersey, presumably we'd have to raise an objection, we'd bear the burden of proof, and we'd have to present some kind of evidence to suggest that Mickey Mouse is not even a human being.
That's her argument. She was sticking a finger in her eye there.
Well, yeah. She did us a favor because she pointed out the legal absurdity that we're in this state. And unfortunately, as you pointed out, the truth is in Pennsylvania, you didn't even get that far. The judge essentially said,
in Pennsylvania, we got to the point where the lawyer for the other side argued that the certificate of qualifications or what it was, forget the exact name
right,
the
of it,
did not have to be signed by the presidential candidates. And even though all the other candidates did, Obama didn't, but he didn't have to sign it. So he didn't say he's eligible, therefore you can't challenge that he's eligible. That was ridiculous.
Well, the whole thing.
Now, the one in New Jersey is even more ridiculous.
Well, like I said, it's a big circle jerk going on here on every level, right up to the U.S. Supreme Court. And it's like, as Dan started off the show, it's turning into, if we're not already, essentially a banana republic where the rule of law doesn't matter.
Exactly.
It doesn't matter.
They're using every legal trick in the book to duck the reality that Obama is a fraud and ineligible, both factually as to his location of birth and also legally that he's not a natural-born citizen. I mean, they cited Wong Kim Ark, which the judge was completely ignoring the holding, but he went into all the dicta and writing about it and used that to decide that Obama is a natural-born citizen, although he didn't say in his decision that he is a natural-born citizen. He said the objectors have not proven that he isn't. But Wong Kim Ark, the stating facts in Wong Kim Ark that both parents were legally domiciled. You know what, you're a lawyer, Billy, you know what domicile means legally.
Yes.
Obama's father was never a domiciled legal resident of United States.
Well, not Pennsylvania either, but it has.
Right. So if you're going to use the facts of Wong Kim Ark to justify declaring Obama a natural-born citizen, which Wong Kim Ark didn't, it declared Wong Kim Ark a citizen, if you're going to use that misinterpretation of that law, you got to have the same facts in place.
Well,
Obama's father was never domiciled in the United States.
The same argument was
on a student visa, he impregnated a 17-year-old girl, goes off to Harvard and gets kicked out of Harvard and back to Kenya where he died, never an immigrant to this country, never a citizen, never even legally domiciled here, and they're trying to use case law to say that applies to Obama Sr. and therefore to Obama and he's a natural
citizen. Well, they know that you're not going to have an American...
It's a crock.
Well, they know that you're not going to have an American population analyzing Supreme Court cases. I mean, that's not going to happen. It shouldn't have to happen. It's very simple.
That judge should have analyzed it properly. He just twisted it.
Everything's twisted.
To make it fit Obama and gave him a pass.
You know,
just like the Ankeny case in Indiana. That case was strictly turned away at the door based on the legal principle of failure to state a claim. You know what that means,
right? Right, yep.
And then it went to the appeals court, and the appeals court just arbitrarily declared Obama a natural-born citizen because he was born in the USA with no proof he was born in the USA, and that even that fact alone is not a necessary...
Commander Carson, just hold on. One thing...
But the court didn't address that.
Just discuss this logical absurdity, I think. The court, as I mentioned before, they prevented the attorney Mario Puzo from introducing evidence about the alleged forged counterfeit long form birth certificate.
Don't say alleged. Everybody knows it's forged.
All right, the non alleged, the facts.
Alleged to the court.
Okay. Well, anyway, they would not let him present evidence consistent or persuasive evidence about the birth certificate, the long form, the April 27th long form being a forgery or a counterfeit. Yet, the judge, I believe, I saw some excerpts. I mean, you read the opinion, I think, a little more than I have so far. But the judge, I believe, referenced that he believes, quote, I believe Barack Obama was born in Hawaii. Now, obviously,
I believe that was stated in oral statements to Attorney Opuzo last night.
What is he basing it on?
That affirmative statement in his decision.
He should only
put it in the decision that the objectors have not proven that he wasn't.
Well, they wouldn't let
him. Well, Billy's question is, how does the judge know that he was?
Right. I mean, he should only be basing his decision on what's in evidence, and he didn't allow anything into evidence suggesting that Barack Obama was born in Hawaii.
Yeah, sauce for the goose.
The whole decision is based on, it's up to we objectors to prove that the legal identity Obama is proffering is not true.
And by the way,
instead of putting the burden of proof on Obama to prove his true legal identity, they're letting him duck. You don't have to prove.
So the idea, though, is that the burden of proof would shift to Obama if we presented substantial evidence to suggest that he didn't comply. But do you think that was even possible in this hearing?
No. The court was looking for every way possible to not allow any evidence of Obama's true legal identity to be entered into the record.
Well, there's a
or evidence disputing his true legal identity. Put it that way.
Yeah.
Entered in the record. He didn't want it in the physical record.
There were a couple of things, though, that the judge said that were kind of interesting later on. Charlie, if you go on to the YouTube channel Hags 51, HAGGZ 51.
I'm having trouble hearing you, Dan. You're kind of like echoing a little bit, or like you're talking inside a barrel, so to speak. So maybe
get out of that barrel.
Really.
Can't sit in that
Does
barrel.
This sound better, Charlie? Hello.
I mean, this whole country's in a pickle barrel. I mean, the rule of law is gone. The judicial system is gone. You know, and it reminds me of what John F. Kennedy said. They're not giving us a way of peacefully resolving this issue with Obama. And to paraphrase what John F. Kennedy said, those who make peaceful revolution impossible make violent revolution inevitable. Let me paraphrase that and say that those who make peaceful resolution via the court systems are going to make violent resolution some other way happen in the future. They are pushing the American people into a corner. This is the community organizer's tactic, to stir up the passions, rub the passions raw. That's right out of Saul Alinsky's Rules for Radicals, and Obama is the grandmaster of Saul Alinsky's Rules for Radicals. He knows what he's doing. He's stirring up racial hatred in this country. He's stirring up the passions by denying us justice in the courts. He wants to push us into a situation where, in effect, what's going to happen here, if the Constitution means nothing, he's going to push this country into a civil war eventually. That's his goal. Then he can take over with martial law and be a dictator. Mussolini.
That you mentioned that, Commander Kirchner, did you happen to hear that video by the telephone conversation by two so-called Black Panthers in Florida?
Yeah, absolutely. They should be arrested for hate speech.
What did they say? It was
They're saying that somebody should basically go, blood for blood. In other words, blood for blood. We got to go out and
Not in other words. That is what they said. They said the blood has to flow in the streets, and they said that George Zimmerman.
A red sea. He said a red sea. He's not talking about a couple drops.
Well, we'll see what happens. Let's see if Eric Holder does anything about that.
Not going to happen.
Oh, Eric Holder today said. They're going to do what's proper as far as justice for Mr. Zimmerman, who is a Hispanic. Did you ever hear this? The newspapers are now calling him a white Hispanic. I never heard of a term as a white Hispanic. He declared in his voter registration that he's a Hispanic. But they want to make this white on black to stir up racial division. That's what they're doing. Should we call Obama a white black person?
Well, I do, usually.
Because, you know, the papers now call Zimmerman a white Hispanic? Is that a politically correct term?
Well, there is precedent for that. I mean, in police reports and stuff, they very often will refer to somebody I know as a black Hispanic for identification purposes. You have people all over South America. You know,
I learned something new today, but I never heard. He went from a white person in the news media to all of a sudden I started reading white Hispanic.
Yeah.
They want to keep the white in there. They want to turn up hatred of the whites in this country. For racial, they're using race as a political tool.
And we know
racial
they are.
Hatred. That's what they're doing.
They're
dividing the country.
Well, so where do we go from here? Where do we go from here with this whole eligibility thing with Obama? What's your take? I mean, you've been in the trenches for 3.5 years.
I think I heard you saying before I came on the air. We've got the people in New Jersey have got to bombard the Secretary of State to not put him on the ballot. This is an emperor has no clothes decision. They're totally overlooking complete fraud, document fraud. Like the forged draft registration card of Obama was tried to get into evidence too, and they wouldn't let him bring that in. But that's a federal felony, punishable 5 years in jail. Obama's draft registration is backdated and forged. It's absolutely certain that's the case. And it was obtained copies of it by two different independent FOIA requests. We know the government had a forged draft registration card for Obama. That's 5 years in prison, $250,000 fine, and you cannot hold any federal government employment or political office.
Charlie.
If you forge your draft card, you know, you know,
Charlie.
Not registering for the draft even. He didn't know he not register. He put a forged one in. The year he ran, wanted to run for president, somebody in Chicago office, a friend of his in the Acorn or whatever, who worked there, stuck this into the draft registration system, backdated it.
Exactly. Charlie, you mentioned people contacting the Lieutenant Governor's office.
My old ears are having trouble hearing you again, Dan.
Well, you mentioned people contacting the Lieutenant Governor's office. Now,
Secretary of State.
The Lieutenant Governor.
Yeah, they got a call. They got to start calling,
faxing,
emailing.
Charlie, here's what people can do. Now, in New Jersey, the Lieutenant Governor, Kim Guadagno, is the Secretary of State. So, in effect, you're contacting the same person for two different offices, but the person you want to contact is the Secretary of State. The phone number in Trenton to contact the Secretary of State is area code 609-292-6000.
Say it again, Dan, slowly.
609-292-6000. And it doesn't matter where you're from, actually. If you're listening to this show in, say, California, there's no reason you can't call New Jersey and urge the Secretary of State to do her job and make sure that Obama is legitimate to be on the ballot for this office.
By statute and by the New Jersey Constitution, she took an oath to support and defend the New Jersey Constitution and the U.S. Constitution. She's got a legal obligation to make sure that the people on those ballots, New Jersey voters, are not entitled to vote for a non-eligible candidate.
And if for some reason you contact this phone number and you can't get through for some reason, you could also email the Secretary of State / Lieutenant Governor at lt.governor@gov.state.nj.us. I think we all need to be heard on this issue, and she needs to know that we are voters. We'll look very carefully at how she discharges her duties as Secretary of State or fails to discharge her duties, and we will make our displeasure known at the ballot box.
Just so everybody out there knows, the Secretary of State of the state of New Jersey does not have any legal obligation to accept the ruling of this administrative law judge. That is a fact.
Exactly.
She could reject it. She could modify it.
Lied by omission. I'm going to say lied by omission. In that, in his decision, he failed to any when he discussed case law on what a natural-born citizen is.
Yeah, back to what we were talking about, Charlie.
He didn't mention anything about Minor versus Happersett, 1875 Supreme Court case, which specifically said, without a doubt, what a natural-born citizen is. And he refused to include that in his decision. He mentioned Ankeny. He mentioned Wong K. Mark. But he didn't mention Minor v. Happersett. He doesn't want the Secretary of State to know that there is Supreme Court case law that defines without a doubt what a natural-born citizen is.
Commander Kulchner, would you agree that basically the bottom line here is that even by Obama's wrong definition, being born on U.S. soil alone, as opposed to two U.S. citizen parents and being born on U.S. soil, even by his own definition, he's failed to show that he complies with that definition.
That's right. And if they want to argue that Wong K. Mark, again, being repetitious, makes him a natural-born citizen, which it didn't, the facts used to decide Wong K. Mark do not apply to Obama. Obama's father was not domiciled in the United States. legally right. domiciled. He was not. He was just a visitor here and impregnated a 17-year-old girl.
And that had to do with just citizenship, not natural born. Anyway,
you know, a couple of things that the judge said were very interesting, Charlie.
A natural born has to have two U.S. citizen
right.
parents when you're born in the USA.
You know, a couple of things the judge said were kind of interesting. He said, if you go on the YouTube channel that has the three videos of the event, we put them on and we broke it up into three segments. If you go to segment number two and you go to 41 minutes, the judge said to Mario Apuzzo, the attorney, if the campaign produced a birth certificate, then, you know, you win your case if it's a forgery.
Right.
And go to segment number three, and you'll see at 4 minutes and 18 seconds, the judge says, I would suspect that if we accept your definition of natural-born citizen...
Meaning two U.S. citizen parents and U.S.
Right,
soil. Go ahead.
Right. And I think you would agree, Obama lawyer, that Obama would have to be removed from the ballot. And the Obama lawyer didn't protest when he said that.
She affirmed what the judge said.
Very interesting.
Well, the Obama lawyer wants Mickey Mouse on the ballot. I mean, she was really clowning with the world there and the whole system. She's there, you know, with a smug little smirk on her face the whole time. She knows what they're doing.
So, Commander Kershaw,
what about
the reality? The emperor, again, it was an emperor has no clothes decision. They know Obama is naked as far as his true legal identity. And they're letting him get away with it.
Well, unfortunately, this is happening all over the country now. We saw what happened in Arizona.
Let me put out my website so people can see the videos if they want.
We'll get on your website.
Charlie, go ahead. Go on to
my blog, cdrkirchner.wordpress.com. It's cdrkerchner, cdrkirchner.wordpress.com. And you can go scroll down there and see two or three posts I put up since yesterday on the issue, and the third one down has links to videos. And then they can use the time stamp into the video, like you said, to get to the exact spot. But it's disgraceful how... And you know the other thing about the hearing yesterday? That judge wanted to talk all the time. He did not let Mario talk. He kept interjecting and making long speeches and legal twisted arguments to... avoid getting that evidence in.
So, Commander Kircher, the bigger picture here, what, I mean, being, you know, pretty experienced, being in the Navy for decades, having a lot of experience in business and things like that, what is your understanding of what's going on here? What's going on? Aside from natural-born citizenship, what's going on?
Revolution. We're being overthrown from within. The Students for Democratic Society, the violent radicals, 200,000 or 300,000 of them that were rioting in the 60s, have gone when they took Solinsky's advice and went underground and into the system and got their college degrees, worked their way to the top, the pinnacle of all the institutions, academia, journalism, government, everywhere. And Saul said, then when you're at the top 40, 50 years from now, we will take over from within. And they are doing it now. They have this network of former Students for Democratic Society, SDS people, being controlled by Bill Ayers and Bernadine Dorn. They call it the MDS now. Google on MDS for Movement for Democratic Society. It's the SDSers with gray hair. But they are now operating to take over this country from within. They're using our democracy. We're not a democracy, we're a republic, but using the democratic process and the legal system to overthrow this country and the Constitution from within.
Commander Kircher, do you think, let's go to the election in November. Let's assume Obama is, in fact, on the ballot in all 50 states, and he is, in fact, obviously...
I'm afraid they could try to steal it.
Well, that's what I was going to ask. That was my question. Do you think we're going to get a fair election? I guess the answer is no.
I'm not so sure anymore because of all the voter fraud that's out there and not lack of ID, and the DOJ is suppressing all states' attempts to require picture IDs. And now I hear in the news today or yesterday or it was this morning that Obama has avoided the contract to count the vote in the general election to a Spanish company.
In Barcelona, Diebold. Is that what we're talking
about?
Why
did he pick them? I bet you if you check where the money flows, I bet you they donated to his campaign, and I bet you that they have connections to George Soros somehow, one or two steps or three steps removed. And the possibility is that the whole vote count could be rigged. In addition to election fraud right at the machines, electronic machines, and or failure to provide proper ID, people voting who are dead, people voting for dead people, the Chicago way, I'm getting starting to think that this country is a banana republic and we have no rule of law left, and our elections are going to be stolen, completely stolen this time.
So, Commander Kircher, have you, I mean, I know the answer, but for our audience, have you felt like this about your government for a long time?
No. No, I've never felt this way before the 2008 election. I always believed in our government, the court system, the Constitution. 33 years I served my country. I believe we had a noble government, a noble country, a system of government that the likes of the world have never seen, based on a rule of law and an absolute fundamental law, the Constitution, and that, you know, people, of course, were always trying to get around it, but in the end, the system would work and the truth would prevail. Now I feel that's no longer the case. The truth is not going to prevail if we cannot stop this man from getting reelected. This man is a dictator in waiting. I mean, if he gets reelected, there's nothing to stop him from taking over this country.
Now let me ask you something else.
He's going to be another Mussolini.
How about if he
Mussolini's with his nose up in the air? That's Obama.
How about if he doesn't get reelected? Then what's the prognosis then?
Well, then we're going to be dealing with like the progressive movement is like two wings on the same bird. One is flapping really hard, and the other one, the Republican Party, is not flapping so hard. I think what we have to do is either reform the Republican Party or amend the Constitution to allow election, that you can't elect a president on simple plurality of the vote, that you got to get 51%, so that real third parties can come in and challenge the two-party system, so that, okay, if you have four parties running and one gets the highest one gets 35%, that person is not the president. That you have a runoff between the top two then. You know, I think we need to amend the Constitution to enable the smaller parties to enter to give a third party a chance. You know what I'm trying to say?
Oh, yeah, I see what you mean. So a third party can... Right, I see what you mean. So a third party...
If the third party comes in, you split the vote three ways.
Interesting.
And one's got 36, the other's got 34, and the other's got, like, whatever.
Yeah, I understand. 30. So a third party...
If the 34 guy doesn't get to be president.
So you're talking about, like, the example, the most recent example would be Bill Clinton never got a majority.
Yeah, and Ross Perot, you know what I mean?
So, but the thing is, so what do we do with the electorate?
The thing is, the Republican Party forces us to vote for them, because it's the anti-Obama vote. And you got to vote for the Republican candidate sometime holding your nose.
So what do we do about the Electoral College? And that's a problem too, I guess. I guess that has to be.
You'd have three or four parties determining who the two are that run off. You know what I mean?
Right, right.
You'd have a two-stage election process at the popular vote level, and then it would go to the Electoral College, and the Electoral College has to be reformed to allow the states to force by law them to vote the way the popular vote did. What they should do is just make them vote based on the oath of the Constitution.
Right.
And it's their job to make sure the person is constitutionally qualified.
Well, at this point, right, everybody's saying it's not my job. That's what they're saying at every level.
Exactly.
The Constitution.
Political parties have worked this system now for decades to make it that the parties control the government, not the Constitution.
Well, we've been warned about that by the founders, haven't we?
By George Washington himself.
So what do we? So aside from amending the Constitution to reflect what you just suggested, because that's not going to happen anytime soon, probably. What do we do now? What do we do?
My God, that's a
crickets. I hear crickets.
Question: what do we do? It depends on the exact circumstance the individual is standing in at that time. I mean, when they try to take over the country, if they steal the election, what are you going to do then? Well, then I think John Kennedy's statement comes to mind. But what am I going to do right now? I'm going to keep fighting to prevent this usurper, this fraud, Obama, this criminal Obama from winning the election. I hope it can somehow come out before the Democratic National Convention. He doesn't even get nominated.
Hey, Commander Kircher,
I'm just hoping some elected official beyond Sheriff Arpaio in Arizona steps forward and helps the sheriff and and cracks this open.
We're going to say, hey, Commander Kirchner, thank you for being on the show. We're just about out of time. We'll talk to you soon. It's Billy and Dan for the Bear Haggerty Offensive on Repatriot Radio, WNJC 1360 AM out of Philadelphia. Out. See you next week.
Thank you very much for having me on, and God bless America and God save America. We are in trouble with this man. Bye-bye.
Thank you. Out.
You're listening to WNJC 1360 AM in Washington Township, New Jersey, and on the web at WNJC1360.com. We're Forsyth Broadcasting Company. Stay tuned for Angel's Ark.
He said there are things.